cliffcentral.com. The Unview, the Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous on cliffcentral.com.
And this is The Unview. Good morning. Good morning to you as the 1st of June is upon us.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, sorry, I was also just throwing in a good morning there to whoever you were saying good morning to.
Nathan Rowe, my very special guest here on cliffcentral.com. My name is Alan Ford, and it's good to be with you. Nathan.
Yes.
Winter.
It is wonderful.
Today it begins.
I'm getting those little bits of skin just at the base of your fingernail that peel off and cause you so much pain. It's like little bits of hell on your fingers.
Listen, it's romantic. It's nice to sit at a nice fireplace.
I don't know. I pick them off. Oh, not there. Oh, winter.
Winter, yes.
Okay.
Can be romantic. A beautiful fireplace. Nice bottle of red wine.
Yeah.
Beautiful food. Cuddled under the duvet. But the problem is that...
I don't have any of those things.
Why?
A fireplace. A duvet. I just have a onesie and a sheet.
The problem with winter is that this whole cuddle thing is that you're too cold to take your clothes off. So that goes nowhere. It goes out the window.
Because you watch those movies where they're stuck in the snow and they always take their Sherpas. No, not their Sherpas. What are they called? Parkas.
Yes.
Their Parkas off and then they cuddle naked. And you kind of think...
Body.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and then...
But it's not. It's horrible, actually. It's very cold.
So there is a romantic... There could be a romantic moment. But the rest of the time, we're shivering and we just feel terrible.
Yeah,
we get sick.
Red wine. That sounds like something our Unview listeners would do. Let's drink wine and get naked. You know, as opposed to, like, maybe other demographics that don't have access to nudity or white red wine.
I spoke to Professor Harry Seftel this morning, and unfortunately... Prof clearly said he's 89 and he's not great anymore on radio. He apologized. Seriously, you were there when we had the discussion. But, you know, Prof used to always say, fish, fowl, and fiber. Get it honest. Get it into the body. Make sure that you, and please, stop kissing and touching. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. That's what Prof would tell you. HH, honest, Harry.
Did he say the three Fs?
Fish, fowl, and fiber.
Sure.
Always.
Did he ever make you guess what they were? Because I would have not guessed fiber.
He is brilliant, but always stop kissing each other and wash your hands. That is the problem. You must wash your hands. And that was Professor Harry Seftel. That's what he used to tell us every year.
What if you wash your hands before you kiss?
The point of the matter is just wash your hands and don't kiss people.
Okay.
That's how you transfer germs.
Okay.
It's always about germs at the end of the day. So we've got a bit of the winter blues. And you prepared something for me.
Well, I didn't prepare anything. I just have my little ukulele here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll play you something.
So this is a dedication as you wake up on the 1st of June to the start of winter, because this is how winter begins. So let's do this thing.
When the winter leaves you all alone and your body is frozen to the bone, don't you feel like crying? Don't you feel like crying? Don't you feel like crying? Oh, Alan, cry to me. Beautiful. I love the ending.
Love
there.
The
choking, the gagging, the phlegm. Yeah.
Good morning. As you join us on the Unview, where we are the thin, the rich, and the fabulous. We can't work out when we're going to be thin or rich or fabulous, but we just know it's there somewhere.
It's a life goal.
A great show ahead of us today. We're going to talk about a phenomenal concept called Coaches Are Us, brought to you by BrightRock. BrightRock, one of the top insurance companies in South Africa. But we've been along this process, and the process is all about changing moments in people's lives and having a change coach. And we took former Springbok Thando Rajchavanga on probably one of the most interesting experiences ever. And he was taken by a top comedian, sports commentator, Dalen Oliver. So we've got him in studio. As we talk a bit about Dalen's life, we'll chat later in the show to Stuart Taylor, his inspiration. And, you know, Stuart will talk about what it's like to work with the crazy Dalen Oliver. And then from BrightRock, Suzanne Stevens joins us in studio, and we're going to talk about this great initiative. This is good entertainment. You want to talk about funny stuff, cool stuff, coach?
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about all that magic stuff.
I'm excited to meet this coach.
Yeah. We'll get there later.
He has a funny accent and everything.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Don't you feel like crying? Yeah, it's. Maybe we'll come up with a song for the coach. Just think about stuff.
Yeah, we might not. but it's a possibility.
And but kicking off the show, we are very excited on Monday evening to begin the award ceremony of the particularly the Gauteng theatre circuit. And of course, we had the Fleur de Cup at the beginning of the year, and then this is probably one of the it is the biggest awards in the country. It's the Naledi Awards, and every single year the theatre entertainment fraternity come together to celebrate the year's work.
You know, I saw a headline on the on a street poll the other day. It said "Homo Naledi," and I was like, "Geez, that's not nice." They're just like putting all actors in one basket there. But it was actually about something completely different.
You're such a fool.
Yeah.
On the line, Dawn Lindberg. Welcome to the show, Dawn. Okay, Dawn, we lost Dawn. Let's get Dawn back on. We lose people along the way, as one goes.
Unless that's how she answers phones. I mean, I do that sometimes.
You're such a fool. What have you seen this year that has really stood out for you? Well, in the past year. So nothing from January, but last year.
Are you talking theatre?
Hmm. What have you seen?
Alan... You know, like, I don't know, I saw a nativity play at a church. I saw Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, but that was...
That's this year.
I know, but I'm saying, before I met you, I didn't ever go to theatre.
But for a musician, for a person that's an actor, how can you not be at the theatre? What's wrong with you?
No, I love theatre. You know, theatre is one of these things that people keep giving you free tickets for, right? So mm-hmm. you go and you're like, wow, I love theatre. This is so amazing. I want to do this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just wait for your next...
And then so I've basically I've got to invite you as my date.
Basically. Well, you know what? I think it's just, I just need to be more proactive. You know, I think also the theatres are in strange places. They're starting to come more to like
my neck of the woods. What are you talking about? There's one in Sandton Square. There's one in this barnyard.
Yeah, but we used to have to go to town.
Town is great. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, you know, Joburg town, it's cold, it's smoggy. It's, there's a few window smashings every now and then.
Can I tell you, the theatres, I think the theatres have never been fuller.
No, no, I agree.
And that, I would have tell you. That's
not with me.
On the line, Dawn Lindberg, one of the heads or one of the head, not only one of the convening judges, but also the person that's put the ladies together for the past, well, many, many years. Dawn Lindberg, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Alan. It's been 13 years, darling.
13 years of the Naledi magic. And of course, the point of the awards, Dawn, is to acknowledge the industry and to pay, not only to pay homage to it, but to kind of just to celebrate great work.
Well, you know, our South African theatre really is of world-class standards. And this is what I'm trying to point up and to emphasize. So we're trying primarily to raise the profile generally of South African theatre, but also to highlight the world-class excellence. It's extraordinary what we do have in our country, it's just very exciting to be able to be the ones who are able to actually to do the awards and to honour these people.
The award has got some very special categories, and tell us some of the categories and the people that you celebrate. Basically, it's across the board, is it not?
Yeah, we do. We've got 26 categories, and they range from the technical awards of sets, costumes, lighting, sound, and so on, to recognizing emerging voices, emerging new talent, theatre for young audiences and children, and then of course veterans, the best actors, the best performers in musicals, and the best new South African script, which to me is one of the most exciting categories. Because, you know, we also are trying to encourage new South African work. We want South Africans to tell their stories and not just. I mean, the classics or the new stuff that's coming from overseas is amazing. But we're interested in South African theatre.
Of course, you also have the Brett Golden Award, which is, I think, a very important award because Brett died... under horrific circumstances, but that looks at the best newcomer and the breakthrough category, which is really important because it's a category that identifies what the future may look like in South Africa.
That's exactly right. You see, it's somebody who might have been hovering, you know, just underneath the surface and playing bit roles or chorus parts, and then suddenly shines. So that's why we call it breakthrough. So it's a newcomer, but for the first time. they're breaking through and being noticed as something as preparing something special. And that is named after Brett Goldin because he died, he was 23, can you believe it? Mm-hmm. And he was just on his way to join the London Royal Shakespeare Company. And then, of course, he and his friend were gunned down in Cape Town in the most brutal way. Richard Goldin was with him. And so his mother, Denise Goldin, every year we invite her to present this award together with another special people, a person in the industry. This time it's Jade Bowers, who was the Standard Bank Young winner for theatre for 2016. And so it's always very exciting to couple an emerging voice with Denise, the mom.
We look at, of course, our musicals. Dawn, you know I'm a musical freak. It's one of my things. Okay, you know
yes.
I love it.
Oh, Alan, really?
You know me. I mean, I love it all, but I love my musicals. You know I'm a bit obsessed.
Yes.
But,
how many times did you see Priscilla?
I've seen it 4 times in South Africa, twice in London, 6 times.
Oh, wow.
Lion King 8, Wicked 7, Jersey Boys also 6. Yeah, not. I know. We've got a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
Sounds like a cricket score.
Funny, Joseph, I've only seen once. Only once ever I've seen Joseph, which is this year. But again, if I look at some of the great names in theatre, but I'm going to touch on musical just for a brief moment in time.
Yeah.
We've had an incredible year of musicals. You look at...
The musicals category is a very interesting one because, you see, you've either got the very big, expensive musicals, which are what we call franchised. In other words, they come in, the producers, the South African producers like Hazel Feldman or Peter Tureen, they buy the entire production. Now, that doesn't mean it's not eligible, but it does mean that what comes into South Africa, like the sets and the costumes and the director, are not eligible, but they're always cast 100% with South African talent. So all those performers are eligible. But then you get smaller musicals like I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change, and smaller budget musicals. Another one it was Altyd en My Drome, an interesting Afrikaans work. Mm. And so to compare, to judge one of these smaller budget musicals against the big ones is not an easy task, you see. And it's very difficult for the judges not to be beguiled, you know, by the amazing things that go up and down and open and close and the costumes and the lighting. Something like Annie or of course, Singing in the Rain, where we had real rain. I mean, I mean, who could resist that?
And, of course, there is Joseph and the Amazing Technical Dream Coat. There is, of course, Singing in the Rain. There is Annie. It's nice to see that what came up from Durban from Stephen Steed was Shrek the Musical. Of course, there is another great musical that was put on by the South African State Theatre, Umshado, The Marriage of Heritage.
That's the sort of thing we're looking for, you see. Last year we had Marikana the musical, which was amazing because people thought, well, how can you do a musical about Marikana? But of course you can because South African people sing when they're happy, when they're sad, when they're surrounded by tragedy. And it was an amazing achievement. So Umshado was also something that we were very, very excited about. But there was a nice mix, in other words. We had an Afrikaans piece. We had some very big musicals. We had
You did mention Altyd en My Drome with Kwesi Smit, which is also going to be a very good, interesting one to see. Now we look at the best plays. Interesting. Yeah. Scorched is there. Suddenly the Storm, a brilliant one from the Market Theatre. Loved seeing that one. And then of course Bad Jews was interesting.
It was amazing, you see, because firstly it has this provocative title. It either turned people off entirely, and then at first they thought, oh, is this anti-Semitic? But of course it was satirical, an extremely clever script, and it spared no one. So that comes up from the Fugard Theatre, one of my favourite theatres, I must say. In the country, they always do amazing work, and a lot of their productions come up to Joburg. So we had Bad Jews, then we had Scorched, which was an extraordinary extraordinary work. Again, that was directed by Jade Bowers, and she that was done together with UJ Arts Centre. A very, very, very difficult piece, a political piece, not about modern-day politics, but just the way how people are displaced and struggle to find their identities and where they belong. Suddenly the Storm, of course, by our very beloved Paul Slavolepsy, and directed by his teammate, Bobby Heaney. Very, also extremely interesting, an original work that touched on various themes from rhino poaching to marriages that go in and out and lost offspring and so on. Very interesting. And, of course, the Ubu in the Truth Commission, produced by the Handspring Puppet Company in association with the Market Theatre, and directed by William Kentridge. So it's not a new piece. That one was coming back, I think, after 10 years. But, you know, still powerful with those Handspring Puppets and an opera musical background.
Dawn,
the productions of a play are always a very, very highly
always great high standard. Lots of great judges. We're going to have you in with the winners next week, so we look forward to doing that. Again, wonderful to see that the World Impact Award is one of your major awards, and of course the Lifetime Achievement Award. Johnny Clegg is up for it this year. Will he be performing?
Yes, no, he's not performing. You know, he's preparing. Well, firstly, he's coming straight from the airport to the awards, so I think he's probably come in from somewhere and will be tired. Secondly, he's just about to embark on his last world tour himself. But we've been trying to get him for 3 years, so I'm absolutely delighted to have Johnny Clegg. He's an absolute icon. And then another very interesting award, Alan, I know before my time runs out, is called the Lesedi Spirits of Courage Award, which goes to somebody who's overcome great trauma or disadvantage. And this year it's going to an Afrikaans actor, Eric Holm, who had a freak diving accident and broke his neck. And he's now confined to a wheelchair, but what an amazing energy and talent. And, you know, just out there to say, okay, so I'm in a wheelchair, so what? I can sing, I can dance. I mean, I can't dance, but I can act, and he's on television. So and that was that's a wonderful, worthy.
Gaynor Young got it last year, and of course, Eric Holm, very interesting. We'll chat about this all. I wish you the best of luck for Monday. It's going to be brilliant, as it always is. Of course, we've lots of music on that stage. You've got the youth orchestra, 60-piece orchestra. Again?
No, not that. We had the orchestra last year. We do have a live band, but that's because we've got the entire Sarafina, the whole cast of Sarafina coming up from Durban, all 22 of them, and they're doing an amazing piece. Freedom is coming tomorrow. And with Bongeni and Gemma and his wife, the choreographer.
Sure.
So we've got lots of music and dance, and we've got, in fact, one of the main songs from the musical Rent with some of the original cast. We've got Earl Gregory singing from Joseph. We've got little 12-year-old Lilla Fleischman doing Tomorrow from Annie. So we've got wonderful entertainment, as always.
Dawn, it's happening at the Lyric Theatre. Can people get tickets?
Yes, through CompuTicket. There are tickets available. 200 rands gives you the red carpet, the cocktail party, wine, mingling with all the stars of stage and television, and, of course, the whole show.
And you know what, Dawn, without the incredible sponsors, we can't do anything. Give them a punt. Go. Give them a punt. Go.
And thank you for your support, really, Alan. You just always have such an amazing energy, and I know that you are sponsoring some special prizes this year, which will be announced. And my last and most special thank you goes to Togo Sun and the Lyric Theatre, which have given us the Lyric Theatre at absolutely no charge for the last 6 years. So really, that's been a most wonderful sponsorship in kind.
Dawn, I say this not because I want to blow steam up your tush, but I know this is hard work, and raising the funds is sometimes impossible. And I know this year you almost didn't have it.
We almost didn't have it.
I mean, last year, people don't know this, but I want people to know it because I think it's important. Dawn put a house up, bonded a home to make it happen. I mean, this is important, Dawn, because that's your love for, that's what you and Des did. People don't know that, but I know that you wouldn't mind me doing that. But the fact is that the Naledi Awards is such an important institution for this country and for the arts. So, we thank you. Thank you to you and to Des, to your judging panel, to your executive committee from John Carney, right through to Welcome Soma, right through to your whole team. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan.
We'll
look forward to seeing you on Monday and talking to you next week on Thursday.
Absolutely. We'll have the winners are going to lots of the winners in the studio, and That's the wonderful, wonderful Dawn Lindberg, the Naledi Awards. Come with me. Will you be my date? My partner's not here, so he's in Durban. So come with me.
Can I bring a date as your date?
Yeah, you can bring a date as your date.
Awesome.
I don't mind.
I actually remembered while she was talking, I did see Singing in the Rain last year. Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, we need to
it
get
really
you.
Did rain on stage.
It did.
It filled the whole
But I just need
stage.
To say something to you. You're such a talent. You're so brilliant. You're an actor. You've been in Isidingo. You're a singer. You're a performer. You're a great camera person. You're a cartoonist.
What do you want?
You really have to get to the theatre. You need a laugh.
Oh, yeah. No, I
What's
love
wrong
going.
With you?
I actually do go. I think my memory is actually just really bad because I actually do go. I saw last year, I saw Feed Me Seymour, Little Shop Horrors.
Yes.
I saw...
Before, but...
Was it?
We'll work it out.
Time flies. We need. See, I can't even remember what year it was.
Are you coming with me with someone else to the ladies, the three of us?
Possibly. I'll need to check with my date.
But can't you come with me?
Well, we can do this after the show.
Okay.
Maybe.
I just want you.
We can sort it out.
I mean, in that capacity.
You want me to go to watch theatre awards? Yeah. Gotcha.
All right. This is The Unview. It's on cliffcentral.com. My name is Alan Ford with the wonderful Nathan Rowe. We're going to end the show with a bit of a blues tune because it's the winter blues.
Okay.
And there isn't better. Give me what other blues songs can you play on the ukulele?
Well, winter's the best time to sing the blues, actually, because you get all that, you know, and you're like, oh, baby, you know, I gotta sing something sad. You know, so that actually works out perfect for everyone.
On a magical note, talking about comedy and fun, Coaches R Us was a project launched about 10 weeks ago, actually this week will be 10 weeks, by BrightRock, one of South Africa's top insurance companies. And the whole concept is to take a former Springbok player and help him embrace the changes that has happened in his life. Now, Tondirai Chivanga, who we'll have on the line in the next 10 minutes, had an injury. He no longer plays for the Springboks and the Sharks. He used to play for the Stormers. He played for the Cheetahs. He also played for, I think, the Dragons in Wales.
If you've seen him in a Speedo, you'll know he's had more than one injury.
Just based on
the scars all over his body.
And then we went along and created a project where we found him some of the most interesting change moments in his life through sports, through different type of sports. In the studio, we have Suzanne Stevens. Suzanne, welcome to the show, and thank you for joining us from BrightRock.
Thanks, Al.
Where did this come from? Because what a brilliant, brilliant initiative, but also to take a Springbok and then throw him into all these different sporting or sports-like situations that are completely obscure is very interesting.
Yeah, I think all the idea stems from quite a few of the previous things we've been doing in the BrightRock space. So it really all is an extension of how we like to talk and play and think about and laugh and cry about how, as people, we have to navigate change and change in our lives. And obviously, as an insurance company, our product is very much geared towards helping and supporting people through some of those very difficult changes in life. But we know that as people that navigating change can be scary, it can be exciting, it can be funny. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we've always done at BrightRock is embrace humor as a way of looking at and talking about some of those, some of the lighter side of what we do when we have to navigate life's big changes. But also a way of looking at some of the scary stuff that that we have to face when we navigate life's changes. And so we've worked with some amazing people. You mentioned Stuart Taylor, who's worked with us on a couple of initiatives in the past. We've worked with amazing talent in South Africa who've helped us sort of create that intersection between fun and laughter and humor, and then exploring this idea of change. And then as a company who are also involved in rugby and who sponsor Western Province and Stormers Rugby, that intersection of sports, humor, and change is a territory that we like to have a lot of fun with. And actually last year we worked with Stuart and with the coach who you will meet, I'm sure now, soon, Coach Dalen Oliver, who we worked on an initiative where we actually played in that territory. And so this was an extension of kind of all of that cumulative experience and thinking in this space. So the idea was really about one of the big change moments we all face in life is when we have to make big changes in our careers. And so looking in the rugby territory, obviously one of the most important transitions for any professional rugby player is that point at which you're no longer playing professional rugby, but you now have to take on life after, you know, being on the field and whatever form that may take. And so bringing kind of the threads I've just described together, we had this idea of what if our intrepid ex-professional rugby player, being Tondorai, was to kind of go on this journey of wanting to explore alternatives to rugby. And so we've had this series of 13 different sports that he kind of is trying out, and each of those he is guided by the wisdom, the enthusiasm, you know, and the enormous skills of the change coach, being Coach Dalen, who kind of helps identify possible sporting opportunities for him and takes him on that trip.
Coach Dalen.
What's happening? How's it? So many positive things about Coach Dalen, this is it.
Yeah, we didn't discuss your outfit.
Yeah. Interesting chap, very interesting. Yeah, I think he represents that crazy coach that each of us kind of had down the line from junior sport up until senior sport. You know, that coach that's committed to coaching his entire life, who started out at the age of 21 and fast forward 20 years later, he's still the same coach, same school, wearing the white shorts, white sweater with the whistle around his neck, high socks and the white tackies.
And he's almost too enthusiastic.
Too enthusiastic.
It's like, why do you care so much about my school, the standard six sporting
That's game. The case. Yeah, and he's, look, in his mind, he's a success. But in actual fact, he's a big flop, you know. But his wisdom allows him to be this
Absolutely.
Encouragement.
And of course, great wisdom always comes from books and movies and songs.
I think he attended theatre productions with you, Alan.
Yes, he could have.
Go to some musicals.
I can't lie. I thought he was quite cute myself, but that's just me.
Yes, I'll tell him that. When
I suspect Dalen could channel a little of his own inner coach in this game.
Yes. Well, this is the thing. So I coached mini cricket for about 5-6 years. So it's these 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 year olds, and you kind of have to develop this world for them so that they can focus. And when you start the session, it's like, hey guys, I'm Coach Dalen, are we gonna have fun? Yay. And
it's no different with a professional rugby player.
Yeah, it's really no different with a professional rugby player. So it's
just a springbok, eh?
Just a springbok. So when Suzanne mentioned this, I was like, okay, cool, this is not too far away from home. And Tondorai is absolutely amazing. What a pleasure working with him.
Absolutely.
He was great at every sport that he played in, majority of it, yeah.
Well, he was fun to watch.
Yes.
For a number of reasons. Because number one, he is one of the most competitive people that I've ever come across. Number two, he can drive you mad because he doesn't want to, when he fails or he doesn't do well, he wants to stick around to try to get it right.
Yes, okay. 100%.
Yeah. Really?
That was the case with the first, we did gymnastics up front. Sure. And I mean, if you're on the rings in gymnastics, your core has to be really strong. And in my mind, I was like, okay, cool, he's not going to be able to do a backflip or front flip. Fast forward 2 minutes after he's practicing, he's doing both of it with ease. Yeah. And you're just looking
so
at him.
So impressive.
Yeah, you're this super athlete. Who are you?
But then you see him on the ice.
Yeah, I think we had the most fun on the ice and with the roller derby. That was shave.
Yeah. I've got to tell our listeners that this is online at the moment. And Suzanne, because people can, because they're listening at the office, they can immediately go on to their... So they go to BrightRockZA, the Facebook page?
Yes, that's right. So BrightRockZA on the Facebook page or on BrightRock TV on YouTube.
Yeah.
So I just have to interject here. Yes. I did not know that an insurance company created more content than SABC.
Yes. And better content than SABC.
It's quite amazing. I stumbled across BrightRock TV. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Sound advice. Sound advice from numerous people.
But there's such a great thing, and I'd like to just compliment you on it. Is it because in that space you've got people like David O'Sullivan doing financial issues?
He does a talk show.
You've got Rudi Landman doing the change moment in people's lives with the best of South Africa.
What's the Rudi Landman change when... a camera crew rocks up at your door and asks you what you've been up to.
No, this is ruder.
This is ruder in older age where she's feeling like she can really have a conversation where she's chatting to people.
Oh, so she's softened a bit.
Yeah.
Okay, she offers you soup. Okay.
She smiles so much during those videos. You should watch it.
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to check that out.
Ooh. I'm going to say nothing. But then also, so you have people like Ellie Cog. You've got the great, good investment people to give you advice. Guys, the TV has moved, or broadcasting. No longer are we just sitting, and this is why Cliff Central exists. Yeah. No longer are we sitting in a space where you just have to sit and tune into the SABC, for example.
Absolutely.
Now you can go and listen to a great interview about a blended family. Okay, I thought it was one of the nicest interviews that was on your. But I mean, there are lots of them, and to go back and watch Peter Dirkace and to see people like Gareth Cliff,
for example,
about people's change. It's a great, great thing to do. But so please. Brightrock TV on YouTube or Brightrock ZA Facebook. Follow them because this is the funniest stuff that you've seen. It really is.
I must say the pole dancing was quite an interesting.
Yes.
Pole dancing was
excursion for Tondaraya
and for Coach. Coach is too scared to make eye contact. His character just wouldn't allow him to look at this very talented pole dancer. But from a sporting side, what a difficult sport. Your core needs to be extremely strong. And for those of you that haven't seen Tondi, this man is in top physical shape. So when he's trying to balance on a pole and struggling, and then there's a stunning pole dancer who's half his size just doing all these tricks, you're wondering, wow, this is quite a complex sport.
And not just tricks, it's exercise.
I mean, there we go.
Yes. It's like dancing stage. On a pole, but not in that sort of scene.
Not that there we go. It's before
it's
8 p.m.
Gymnastics on a pole.
Yes.
At one stage, she climbed up the pole and held on with her knee. She held on with her knee and Tondera, and then she picked up Tondera and swung him around the pole. I was like, no,
with
come
one
on.
End.
Yeah, I was like, wow, she could probably scrum.
It is all on, just watch these inserts. On the line, though, the man of the moment, former Springbok player, man, heart of gold, Tondera Chavanga. Welcome to the show. Tondi.
Helen, how are you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. You have left Johannesburg, landed back in Durban. You have just finished filming this series. Did you love it? And did it change your life?
Man, I loved it so much. And certainly it has changed my life. I look at things a lot differently now. I think in the past I was always... The safe type of guy who doesn't, who only goes where he needs to go, who only does what he needs to sort of do. And I mean, it has given me that, it has opened my eyes to change. And I just love the way now, like I'm pretty much up for anything. And I'm really, really, I've got a different perspective on life.
It's difficult when you're told and when you come to the realization that you're not going to play professional rugby. It must have been hard. How did you handle that?
Yeah, look, I think as you said, it was pretty hard. I think ultimately, I made the decision that I think after 2 years of having done, I think it was four or five operations in those 2 years, my body sort of just reached that point where I knew that holding on was not the best for my body, for my family, and also I think ultimately for any team that I would have been involved in. You know, when you are playing, you know, you want to make sure that you're playing to the best of your ability, and you can add value to your teammates. And I just felt that, you know, my time was up. But like with all things, you know, you know things come to an end, and you have to move on to the next challenge. And I've embraced that challenge.
Well, you have embraced it basically in 13 different sporting experiences. you pole danced, you played bowls, you did ice hockey, you did roller derby, you did archery. We saw things like
ultimate frisbee. Dressage. You was on a horse for the first time.
I mean, this is mind blowing stuff. What did you take from the experiences?
I think what I took from the experience was that. You know, you've got to try new things, and if you stay in your old ways, you know, you will never grow as a person. And I think more so yesterday when I was really falling all over the place doing the the roller derby, I think it really kind of just dawned on me that you've got to be willing. You've got to be willing to let yourself fall, because there's growth in falling. You know, and I've like I said earlier, that I've grown so much just from these experiences. I've got. I'm a lot braver to do things that I never would have tried before.
And then all of a sudden we had the water sports, which were crazy. So the life saving diving for you was an interesting thing. Now I want to just describe this because coach, I mean, the man had a fear of heights.
Yes.
And then the water and the sea and yep. Cape Town all around him at once.
And then we had Sea Point Pavilion. It's a 5-meter drop and I'm scared of heights. And Tony's up there in a speedo. He's like, nah, it's not that bad. I just have to conquer my fear. And yeah, he pulls it off. He did a bit of a belly flop.
A few.
Yeah, but I think it's because his abs were too thick, so he couldn't bend his back. You know, that's the excuse I'm going for. But he even did aqua aerobics yesterday, which I'm sure he enjoyed.
You also yeah. made... Sorry, continue, Tony.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, look, at. I obviously had to face my fear of heights, and I think in a lot of the things that I do, I've just got that sort of attitude where I stuff it, just do it. What's the worst that could happen? So, but, I mean, it took me getting on, you know, doing this incredible campaign with Bright Rock, you know, about all the, you know, embracing all the different changes in your life for me to actually conquer my fears. Had I not done that, I probably definitely would not have done it on my own. Had it not been for this campaign.
Tony, through the growth, I hope to see you coaching one day. I hope to see you staying in the rugby space.
I think he's learned enough from the coach that worked with him.
I've learned enough from the coach.
Of what not to do.
What I was going to say. Has
coach taught you a lot of life lessons, Tondi?
Man, the coach is absolutely unbelievable. It's such a blast working with a coach. And I think, you know, his coaching methods, you know, they're second to none, really.
More none than
more none,
second.
Yeah, more none.
Tadirai, so I really I wish you to move into a coaching position. I really think that you've got so much to offer. You're a good, kind human being, and you're brave and you're persistent. And I think those are what people that's yeah. what you want in the human spirit.
I think Tondi applied his A-type personality to anything, I mean, can you picture him in like a kitchen? Like, yeah. No, it's not right. It needs more vinegar. You know, like, he would just like, I mean, he'd be there for ages, first of all, getting it right. But then it would be the most spectacular dish you've ever tasted.
Correct, because he has to get it perfect. Yeah. He'd use half of the produce in Woolworths, but hey, that's just happened. Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure whatever you go into from here, Tondi, I think you're going to nail.
Tondi, on a closing note, can you tell us, out of the 13 sports, what are you going to take up? Because that's the point. What are you going to pick up?
Well, I must say, even though I wasn't good at all the sports, I thoroughly enjoyed all of them. But what I would definitely love to do again is the dressage. I just love the, you know, just being one with that beast. It was just it's just an unbelievable feeling. And I mean, horses are just incredible, you know, animals. And definitely love to take that up again.
And of course, the best part about a horse is that they sustain all the injuries for you.
Well, I mean, no, unless you get bucks.
Oh, if you can stay on the horse, yeah.
I don't know. Like they never shoot the jockey in a horse race. You know what I'm saying?
He's such a fool. Such a fool.
They're not going to shoot you, Tondi. Don't worry.
Yeah. And when Tondi said that incredible beast, I was going to say, Tondi, people get confused with you and the beast from Springboks.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's talking about a horse.
Tondi, congratulations. Thank you for this wonderful campaign. It's entertaining to watch you. Well done. And you're a star. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Alan, and the rest of the crew and Bright Rock. You know, the. I think for them coming up with this really incredible campaign and just encouraging people to get out of their norm and just embrace new challenges and it's been absolutely amazing working with you, and I'm glad as well that you know the public have really embraced this campaign as well.
Tadirai Chivanga, the former Springbok, And yeah,
I like how he's thanks. He never said thanks to coach, but it's fine.
Yeah,
you know, it's fine. We'll let it slip.
His thank you was second to none.
You've said so much thanks, coach. Your reward is to see him move forward in life. That's why you do it.
Yeah, if anything, you can get coach a new uniform, a different color.
Incredibly, as you know, we do this radio show. Nathan and I, separate to the other work that we do, besides being in the city and formerly an actor and singing all over the place.
What do you want, Alan?
No, but let me.
So we, a date.
No, man, I'm involved. I'm happy, please. Okay, and he's involved. We shared a room on the road. Do you know that?
Uh-huh.
We had a very interesting experience.
It's his favorite story. We have amazing stories about Springboks and comedians, but he loves telling people we slept together.
No, man, we just shared a bed. But, I mean, it's fun, actually.
Yeah, well, that's how you always open it. It's like, hey, you know, Desmond Tutu, guess what? Me and Nathan slept together. And you're like, oh, don't open with that, Alan.
Get them comfortable first.
Yeah.
But we were part of this project, and that's why we wanted to talk to you guys about it, because it was an amazing experience. And as cameraman Nate, and of course you're a director, you're an editor, and you're a camera person, what was it like for you?
It was amazing. I mean, first of all, Tonda Rhys' personality, just, I've never met anyone like that. You don't meet people like that in the music world. I mean, we're avid quitters. We quit at almost everything, which is why we're musicians.
Avid quitters, that's the first.
Yeah. But you meet someone like this at a Springbok level, you know, sports player, and everything they do, they just like, they're so focused, they're so disciplined, it's quite scary to see. I mean, I don't really know how to relate to that, but luckily he's a really nice guy. And then, of course, my little side jokes with Dalen, mostly laughing at your presentations, Alan, too. Everywhere we would go to the horse place and the aqua aerobics place, and Alan has to sit everyone down and explain to them exactly what's going on and describe Dalen in great detail, possibly offensive detail.
This is the funniest. Let's hear Alan quote unquote.
I just said to people, I am Lebanese, okay? So just, I said, sometimes coach sounds very loud. It's a combination of the Cape Flats and the Leb from the south. It does come through that way. A breaker, it happens like that. Just that's what it is.
And then at that point, everyone goes, oh, okay. This should be interesting. He is in a white uniform after all. Looks a bit crazy.
Because otherwise the people look around, you know what's going on.
But so he's dressed like a Leb. What's Cape Flats about him?
His hairstyle, because he has no hair. They stole it.
So you and I are going to spend some time together now, Dalen. And of course we'll talk to Stuart Taylor in a second. Suzanne Stevens, we're going to say goodbye to you.
Thank you, Ellen, yes.
Thank you to the Bright Rock team. And of course it's Bright Rock TV.
Yes, she has a production company to go and run. So.
Production company. It's a massive. And congratulations.
I'm actually going to a meeting now to talk about our super sports show. So, yeah, we've
got
to go.
Of course, they're there with the Dan Nichols show. They've got Fit Anadang on Cake Net.
Exactly.
There is the Change Exchange happening, as I said to you, on Bright Rock TV. Go to their website, sprightrock.co.za, and of course, don't miss and don't forget to watch this magic. And Facebook is the easiest way to do it.
Yeah, Facebook.
Just follow, it just comes up in your feed.
It's, yeah, and Suzanne, thanks for having me on board. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was really cool. Like, even if you're not a sports fan, watch these videos, guys. You are going to have a good laugh. Very entertaining, and yeah, see Tondi in action.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Suzanne
very
Stevens
much.
From
Appreciate
Bright Rock
it.
For being in studio. And of course, it's called Coaches R Us, brought to you by Bright Rock. Now, coming to you, Coach, this wonderful comedian, crazy person, Dalen Oliver.
Yes, I've heard about him. I've heard a bit about
from
him.
From Cape Town.
Mm.
I asked you a question yesterday, and I'm going to share it now. The first question is, have you performed with Trevor Noah?
Yeah, so this is the thing. So I haven't worked or performed with Trevor Noah, but since Trevor's amazing rise, and we thank him for opening doors locally and internationally. When you're at club gigs or theatre gigs, people's initial question to you afterwards is, have you performed with Trevor? And my response is, no, I haven't had the privilege yet. And then their response is, oh, okay, so you're not like a real comedian yet. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm not a real comedian yet. It's the weirdest question, because that society's kind of point of view in some aspects, whether they're joking or not. I find it very funny, but they're like, so you haven't performed with me, why not? I'm like, he hasn't phoned me. They're like, but he should he? I don't. And some will say, no, I don't think he should. And then you just go into this weird awkward conversation with him, and then you're like, okay, cool, I'm gonna go now because you've made me question my entire career. So yeah, this has been a fun introduction to you guys. I won't give you comps next time. Bye bye.
But you've opened for the likes of Barry Hilton, of course, Stuart Taylor, and you've worked with Joey Rizdin, Mark Blotton.
Yeah, Riyad Musa, I traveled with him as well, Nick Rabinovitz. So it's been a good run.
You're reading a book called Sick in the Head.
Yes, I am.
By Judd Apatow.
Yes.
All right, I saw you brought the book in.
I did.
Are comedians sick in the head?
So this is the thing. Judd Apatow is an American film producer, director. He started out as a comedian, and he speaks about his passion for comedy. It started from the age of 12, and then when he was at high school, he worked for this community radio station, and he used it as an in to go chat and interview all these big comedians. So he'd set up the interview, and he rocks up to Jerry Seinfeld's place, for example, when Jerry Seinfeld just started. And then Seinfeld realizes, oh, this is a 16-year-old kid who works for a community radio station. But Seinfeld's so cool about it, he sits down in his apartment, he says it's this unfurnished place, new comedian to the scene, and he starts chatting about comedy, and he has all these interviews documented. Yeah, so he's got Adam Sandler in there, his interviews with Will Ferrell, Amy Schumer, is like a list of about 10 comics, and there's still more to come, so hopefully there's another book. And yeah, is it very specifically scripted to, yo, this is the interviews to when I started, and fast forward 20 years later when I actually worked alongside these comics as a professional. So really cool.
This show that we do every week is filled with entertainment.
Yes.
And we see the best in the business. And the question is, when do you know you've been bit by, when do you know you're a comedian? When did you know you're a singer? We've discussed this with singers, but
yeah,
when did you know you were funny?
Yeah, it's a very tough question, because
it can't be from your granny.
No, it can't be from family members.
Please,
because they're always going to give you positive feedback. Yeah, so I took like 2-3 years to actually call myself a comedian. I wasn't comfortable with initially telling jokes and then people saying, you're a comedian. I'm like, nah.
Geez, what did you book yourself out as for the first 2 years? The court jester.
The court jester, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, the first performance, it was in 2010 in November, and it changed my perception of comedy, because I thought it's in this beautiful theatres with lush seats and a lovely spotlight with great sound. My first gig was above a bottle store, the Lincoln Tavern in Athlone, where the audience members sat on crates, the SAB crates. They sat on crates, and there's the beers they got from those crates. So once the crates were empty, they then put that as their seat, and then they had a little a rake of the what's the wooden crates? Yeah, there were many crates.
Pallets.
There we go, the pallets. That was a
stage.
So wait,
the more beer they drank, the more seating became available.
That's what it was, yeah. Right?
And opposite of a pub.
Yeah, it's the opposite of a pub. And then this gig filled out, about 60 people were there, and yeah, first one was awesome. 4 minutes. I don't know if it was funny. They laughed. All my friends and family, though. But then I kind of knew the bug bit, and then you just stick with it. And I think for me, the comedian transformation came once I wrote my first one-man show. I came, I taught, I left. So it's about me qualifying as a teacher, but then not teaching. So you start digging a bit deeper into the personal side of you as a person. You cry a lot and reflect on your life. But I think that's where the growth comes, because your voice develops and you start chatting to the audience instead of telling them jokes, and you're telling them stories about yourself, and then kind of linking it to things they can relate to.
What's the funniest story about yourself? One of the best.
This is my favorite story. I coach. So when I was coaching mini cricket, right? The cool thing about the youngsters is that they don't see race. The youngsters don't see race, except for like that one Afrikaans kid, and then yeah, and then what happened was this boy came, he was crying, and I was like, what's wrong, bud? He's like, no, coach, that boy hit me. I'm like, which one? He's like, the one over there. I'm like, him over there? Is like, yes, coach, the one like you. So I'm like, what do you mean, the one like me? And then innocently says, no, coach, the hot knot. And then I start the hot knot. So I start laughing, because kids don't know it means. And then the gag is, I'd look at the audience member and say, oh, ma'am, you're in a relationship. Say your husband. I'm like, well, it's not a bad word, because you're hot and he's not. And the audience kind of at ease. And then going to the kid and saying, you must say sorry to Johnny and let's call him Johnny. Johnny says, sorry, Stephen. I say, you need to apologize. He says, sorry, hot not. And then they go on and they're happy. They're friends. So I see this as a funny moment. But then his dad's this big Afrikaans guy who I have to address the issue with. And eventually comes the stereotypically arriving like in a bucky with his big beard. And I'm panicking. So all the time I'm like, hey, I'm Coach Taylor. Nice to meet you. And eventually he comes to me and I'm like, hey, I'm Coach Hot not. Nice to meet you. And we have this awkward, weird silence between us. And for me, that it was an enjoyable story because the youngsters don't see that color space. It kind of highlights the innocence, whereas at home, we still found guilty of some stuff. So I write deep comedy, bro. Yeah, I make you assess your life afterwards.
No, sick in the head. That's a book reading.
I like how the tone dropped in studio. Alan was like, tell us a story. We were on level 10. And I told the story. We dropped to level 1.
We're just trying to decide whether it's hot or not.
Yeah.
One of your inspirations is a phenomenal South African comic.
Yes.
We've seen him, but everyone remembers him very well from Going Nowhere Slowly.
Yes.
Stuart Taylor's on the line. Hi, Stuart. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you.
Stuart, working with Dalen, how did you find... I mean, firstly, you cultivate young talent, but tell us about how you came across this crazy kid.
I stalked him.
I cultivate young talent. That's I've never had it put that way. Well, I mean, Dalen's one of the biggest comedy hustlers around. You know, I mean, he's the guy you always find at all of the open mic spots, and wherever there's a bit of stage time to be had, that's where he'll be.
Or where there's a pile of crates.
I think it's those guys of that kind of energy that kind of put their hand up, and to use a sporting term, put their hand up and say, yo, use me. So, yeah, that's our Dalen. How are you guys doing this morning?
Yeah, good, man. It's dry and... Hi.
What's up, Stu? How's Cape Town? Is it raining yet?
It's not raining yet. It's not. I've left Cape Town.
I'm not.
I'm living in Beaufort West. There's a lot wetter up here.
Oh, lovely stuff, man.
In the Karoo.
Stuart, you're a successful comic and, of course, a producer, presenter. How do you find the talent? What is the X factor? And how did you see it in this man?
Do you know what? I think there's different brands require different things and different products require different. I think what I've realized is that you got to trust. If you see something in someone, you've got to trust what they're going to bring to the party. And if you're going to go with a choice, go with people who make strong choices, even if it's the wrong choice, a strong choice is much better than kind of weak choice. Do you know what I mean? So for me, it's those performers who kind of just take a really clear idea of this is who I am, this is what I do, and it means that I play in a very specific niche market. You know where they fit. So that's kind of for me an important thing.
Stuart, thank you for finding us this crazy person. We've had lots of fun doing Coaches R Us, and we look forward to getting you back into studio. We know you were recently with Gareth, and of course carry on the good work within the comedic field.
Cheers, dude.
Thanks, brother. Cheers. Great. Nice to have good inspiration. I've noticed one thing about the comedy world.
Yeah.
It's just my own. I've seen it through Joe Parker. You know, that you guys really support each other.
Yeah.
I don't find there's this, because you like to work collectively. That's what they've got to do. It's something that I picked up.
So I think a attributing factor to that is the fact that there's a club circuit. So it happens in restaurants and pubs. So you have Parkers, you've got the Goliaths, and you've got a circuit maybe in Pretoria, Menland, Melrose Arch, etc. in Jersey. And you're going to come across these guys at all the big gigs. And my whole thing is soak up as much experience as you can as possible. So if there are guys who've been in the industry for 10 years plus, go chat to them, set up a coffee, go for a beer, speak to them about the journey that they've been on. And these guys are really cool. They're there to chat. They want to tell you about it, you know?
You see, unlike when I talk about musicals and acting, you find people, they fight against each other. They compete.
Because you asked Nathan for advice and he never gave it because he's a musician. He just doesn't want to share his advice.
I'm a quitter.
An avid one. No,
avid quitter.
It's been great working with you. We want to get you back into studio.
I've had fun. Thank you. This has been a really cool series, man. And 13 episodes later, we survived.
But you enjoying broadcasting, you're enjoying the business.
I am.
For young people, not only in radio, presenting in the comedic field, what's your advice?
Don't do it. It's
what, drugs?
There's no security. No, man. Pursue the at all. You might have medical aid. Get medical aid. That's important.
Seriously,
get it's winter now.
Or life insurance.
Yeah. There's a lot of things you need to get. But no, push the passion. And it's going to be tough, man. It's scary. But you got to create your own opportunities. That's been my biggest inspiration or drive. I've been in the business for about 6.5 years now. Yeah. And if I didn't create my own opportunities in the comedy space, I don't think I'd have been in the space where I am now, because people's not going to phone you, knock on your door. If I stop performing, another comic's not going to say, dude, why are you not working? No, that means there's a bigger market for him to perform to. And sometimes they want to nudge you out. So yeah, create your own opportunities and yeah, head down. Know
this
what the
is
vision
what Stuart is.
Stuart
is talking about. You're a hustler.
Be a hustler. Yeah, be a hustler. Yeah. Honest one.
You're busy roller derbying other comedians out of the circuit there.
Nudge, nudge.
In studio, sports commentator, comedian Dalen Oliver. Thank you so much for joining us and being with us.
Alan Ford, Nathan Rowe. Thank you so much.
Ah, it's been good. It's been good. So on that note, before we close the show, we just want to again give you a few rules. Wash your hands because it's winter time. Don't kiss too much. Be careful. Or kiss the person that you know and you love.
Okay? Yes. Eat honey.
Be careful of the kids, because the kids get it from the other kids at school. Just be
ginger. Like, is ginger thing?
Yeah.
Ginger.
Google natural antibiotics. There's actually like 10 of them. Turmeric. You know, like that's why. Have you ever seen a sick Indian person? It doesn't happen. Yeah, so
I've never heard. You don't find sick. It's actually one of the populaces that die fast in the world. Actually, you know, because of the fat in the food. Seriously, but again, probably
for that.
H couldn't be with us today, but remember fish, fowl, and fiber. And of course, on that note, on a top winter note, let's give another rendition of the blues. So we will remind you again: be good, be safe. This is Nathan Rowe and Alan Ford just doing a bit of a winter thing for you, for the blues that I get the voice going.
Oh, when your snot is all up your arm and your soup, it just won't stay warm.
I'm making it up.
Nice.
Don't you feel like crying? Don't you feel like crying? Don't you feel like crying?
Yeah, go Ellen.
Cry to me.
Happy winter day. This is The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous.
The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous on cliffcentral.com.